Over the next month, Bloomington City leaders will decide whether to keep or fire the company that runs Grossinger Motors Arena. As GLT's Ryan Denham reports, it won't be an easy decision.
Last Thursday, country music star Kane Brown performed a sold-out show at the city-owned arena. You said, what if I hurt you? What if I 2 days later, craft beer fans and foodies packed the floor for the second year of the popular Bacon and Beer Festival. But in that same week, the arena lost its last remaining anchor tenant when the Flying Aces junior hockey team announced it wouldn't be returning next season, citing poor attendance. Bloomington is accustomed to bad news from the arena, but it's those sold-out successes like Kane Brown that also weigh on aldermen and city staff as they decide by April 1st whether to opt out of their management contract with Venue Works. Why can't they just book more shows like that? And if they can't, can we find someone who will? City Manager Tim Gleason says that when he was hired 7 months ago, the money-losing arena was a top-five priority for aldermen, especially reversing negative public perception that's older than the building itself.
It's a heavy lift, but again, I think we have opportunities, and at the end of the day, we really don't have, you know, any other course of action other than to try to improve where we've been the past couple of years.
Venue Works took over management duties at the arena in 2016. It replaced Central Illinois Arena Management, which a few months later saw five of its top officials indicted for allegedly stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars from the arena and the city. Steep operating losses have continued under Venue Works. The arena posted an operating loss of $667,000 last year, and it's lost another $226,000 in the first half of this fiscal year. Those losses are in addition to the $1.4 million in annual debt payments the city is paying off from the original construction of the arena. The city's five-year contract with Venue Works runs through June 2021, but it can opt out without cause by April 1st of this year. If it opts out, the city might look to hire another management company, though the options there are limited. The biggest ones are AEG, SMG, Spectra, and Venue Works, and AEG and SMG are in the process of merging. Don Murray is senior editor at Venues Now, a trade publication. Its parent company, Oakview Group, also manages venues.
There's some, you know, options out there, about four or five, but it is getting to be a smaller pool.
Aside from Venue Works, the big management companies aren't necessarily looking for clients in smaller communities. That's according to Brad Main, president and CEO of the International Association of Venue Managers. He says one reason is it's difficult to find and hire experienced staff in these smaller communities or those willing to move there.
You know, when you're one of the bigger companies and somebody's in Anaheim and they say, would you like to move to Boise, Idaho or to Bloomington? You know, that individual might say, well, I'm in a market of 12 million people. I'm not sure I'd be comfortable going to a market of 200,000.
The city could theoretically manage the arena itself, similar to the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. When asked about that possibility, Gleason says he still needed to talk with aldermen.
I truly have had no meaningful discussion with my elected officials.
There are many challenges facing the arena, whoever is in charge. After 5 years at the arena, the Central Illinois Flying Aces will not return to Bloomington for the 2019-2020 season. The team played in the USHL, the top junior league in the country and the launching pad for many elite college and NHL players. But the Aces have struggled to draw fans, averaging only around 560 people in attendance for the last two seasons. That cuts into the bottom line for the arena. Records show that each Aces game averaged a profit of around $3,700 for the arena. By contrast, four Hot Wheels monster truck shows last month led to a $31,000 profit in just a single weekend. The Aces will take next season off and could move to another market. Here's Zoran Radjic, vice president of Flying Aces owner CSH International.
We've had good competitive teams year in, year out there in Bloomington, but we just haven't been able to get the marketplace to buy into, supporting a local product there. And that, you know, with the losses that have mounted over the last couple of years, it's just getting difficult. So we had to try and stop the bleeding and evaluate what we can do with the franchise.
It's possible the arena won't have any regular sports tenants in 2019. The Edge indoor football team has been a mainstay at the arena since its 2006 opening, albeit with different names and logos. But that team won't be back for 2019. Here's General Manager Charles Weldy.
I've gotten maybe three phone calls about, hey, is there going to be a team? So at one point, you have to just listen to the market. You know, are we going to be missed if we don't play this year? I'm not sure we are, you know, unfortunately.
Weldy says Bloomington's revolving door of sports teams have consistently underestimated the competition that exists for the community's entertainment spending. The competitors aren't just the normal Corn Belters or ISU athletics or high school sports on a Friday night.
And you also have to look at, like, the Cubs, right? So if someone's going to go to a Cubs game, your average person, that's a kind of a big trip for them. They might not do anything for 2 or 3 weeks to save that money up to go to that one Cubs game.
That makes it hard for a team like the Edge. Records show the team drew on average 919 fans to each of its 2017 games. That's in an arena that holds nearly 7,000.
So you have all these other things that you're competing with, some obvious, some not obvious, and some of them I don't know that you can overcome. I mean, if someone is just mad that the arena was built and they're not going to go, it doesn't really matter what my marketing pitch is. They're not coming.
The Bloomington Flex pro basketball team last played at the arena in 2015, but struggled to establish a fan base. A financial dispute between the Flex and the arena delayed basketball's return, but that's now been settled, according to Ed Schumer, commissioner and CEO of the Midwest Professional Basketball Association, or MPBA. Now Schumer says the MPBA is partnering with the New York-based Unified Basketball Alliance to bring several new teams to the Midwest. He says Bloomington, Peoria, and Springfield are all possibilities, but he says he's hesitant about returning to Bloomington given all the uncertainty about the arena, including who will run it.
It's a concern. We're not sure if venue, the people we've created the relationship with are in fact going to be the people we would be dealing with. Hearing the rumors that it may be sold obviously causes some, okay, well, if that's the case, you know, where would our agreement be?
Those rumors appear to be just that. Despite some preliminary recent conversations with potential buyers, Tim Gleason says those talks never advanced.
And at the end of the day, you do not want to give the impression that anything really has any traction.
Gleason says he hasn't discussed the April 1st opt-out deadline in depth with aldermen, but he says VenueWorks has made strides, especially since a September 2018 city council meeting when arena executive director Lynn Cannon told aldermen they should expect, on average, a $500,000 annual operating loss.
VenueWorks, in my opinion, really has stepped up the energy, the effort in some of the, you know, trying to book some of the attractions and the different events at the arena.
Lynn Cannon with VenueWorks says she thinks they're in good shape with the city.
We're looking forward to continuing the relationship through the end of the five-year deal.
One argument for keeping VenueWorks is that they've now had 3 years of experience in the market, a learning curve that another manager would have to repeat.
We took a lot of shots at some shows that we thought would do well and didn't do as well as we were expecting, but within this last fiscal year, I think that we've hit at least base hits on every one of our shows. We've certainly hit a couple of home runs, you know, with last night's show being a sold-out show. The good news is we didn't strike out on anything this year. We didn't have any losses on shows.
Cannon says VenueWorks hoped that the Flying Aces and their 30 home games would return for the 2019-2020 season. But she says their absence will open up more weekend dates for the booking of other better-attended events. There are a lot of competition for shows, with Bloomington Normal surrounded by other venues in Champaign-Urbana, Springfield, and Peoria, plus bigger arenas in Chicago and St. Louis.
I hope to be able to match or even surpass the attendance numbers that we've had, you know, with the hockey team in the building.
Another silver lining could be extra availability of the arena to help alleviate a bottleneck next door at the Pepsi Ice Center, where ice time is hard to come by because of high demand. The Bloomington Youth Hockey Organization has about 115 players on 7 teams. They already have to buy ice time in Pekin and Peoria to accommodate game and practice needs. It's according to BYH President Sean McVeigh. When BYH can book ice time in Bloomington, it's usually at the arena, where it spends about $62,000 a year on rental fees. It's $280 an hour. He says they're worried about the future of youth hockey locally if they lose access to that ice in the arena. But Lynn Cannon with VenueWorks says they'll continue to have ice during the hockey season even without the Aces. She says they may even expand that access now that the Aces aren't around. Tim Gleason says that access is a priority for the city.
We see this as an opportunity, to be quite honest.
As the April 1st opt-out deadline nears, it's unclear which direction aldermen are leaning. 7 of 9 aldermen did not respond to GLT's request for comment for this story. Alderman Karen Schmidt from Ward 6 praised VenueWorks for some of its most creative bookings, such as the Bacon and Beer Festival. But she says it's also had a lot of challenges.
I would say that I had very much hoped that there would be a lot more events there and just a lot more variety. So I'm somewhat disappointed.
Regardless of whether VenueWorks is retained, Schmidt says she wants to see the city set up a more formal process for receiving ideas from the community about programming. There's no Bloomington Arena Advisory Committee, for example.
But there's really no place for people to take those ideas. So I'd like to see that happen, whether that happens independently from VenueWorks or not.
Even with a management change, Brad Main with the International Association of Venue Managers says the 13-year-old arena won't be a quick fix-it job. He says community-wide support is essential for smaller venues, from elected officials to chambers of commerce to tourism groups.
It does take a couple of years to make those kind of changes. Somebody doesn't just come in and all of a sudden everything gets turned around.
If the city doesn't opt out of its VenueWorks contract by April 1st, it would have to show cause to exit that contract any time before 2021. I'm Ryan Denham.
To see an interactive graphic showing the most and least profitable events at the arena over the last 2 years, visit WGLT.org.